The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles, and that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and go to it in detail. Before we get into this week's comic, though, ladies and gentlemen, this just in from Space Weather News. X-Flare. Active sunspot AR-2158 erupted on September 10th, producing a strong X-1.6 class solar flare. Because the sunspot is directly facing Earth, this is a geo-effective event. HF radio blackouts and other communications disturbances have already been observed on the daylit side of the Earth. You can check out spaceweather.com for more. Here's what I'm more afraid of. Not that you're not going to be able to get this podcast, but somehow this is going to affect the time stream and everything that's going on in the multiverse.
Steven!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Steven, it's your kids! It's your kids, Steven!
This week, ladies and gentlemen, Edge of Spider-Verse kicks off that features Spider-Man from multiverses at the same time this X-Flare happens.
Oh, crap. You know what this means? If you see a mysterious Englishman in a funny coat, stay away from him. It does not matter whether that coat is multicolored freaky plaid or a long brown coat or this dark thing with a red lining. Stay away from mysterious Englishmen at any time of space-time disturbance.
So, this is kind of serious, though. If it hits, I mean, you know, I think it's only a 1.6 that is causing some disturbances. Right. But it could cause some disruptions, some of your ATMs not working, your radio's not working, blackouts and whatnot. I had a blackout last night. The storm was way gone.
Yeah, but you have a blackout every Tuesday night.
No. This was like I was getting ready to go to bed.
Oh, you meant
about
electrical.
1:30. Yeah, electrical. Everything just shot out for about a half hour. So I don't know if it's related to that. So this week, Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Noir. Who is the Spider-Man Noir?
Spider-Man Noir is an alternate version of Peter Parker, who got his powers not in 1963, but in 1933, at basically the height of the Great Depression. And everything that you know about Pete Parker is still basically true.
Yeah.
Peter is raised by his aunt. His uncle is dead. He has a girlfriend named Mary Jane. In his first adventure, Spider-Man Noir, which, by the way, is a great title for a book featuring Spider-Man Noir. He fought the Goblin and the Goblin's enforcers, who were basically the same as the Green Goblin and their enforcers. And basically what it is, it's kind of a pulp-esque take on Peter Parker Spider-Man. It's basically taking everything you know about Spider-Man, sticking it in New York in 1933, and calling it something new.
Yeah. This was all part of the Marvel Noir series that had Daredevil, right. Deadpool, Iron Man, Luke Cage, Punisher, Spider-Man Noir, Eyes Without a Face.
Right.
Eyes Without a Face. Weapon X Noir. Wolverine 2. X-Men Noir and X-Men Noir Mark of Cain. I read, this has been such a long time. This is like 2009, 2010.
Yeah, that's like 5 years ago.
I read Daredevil Noir and I thought that was super awesome. And I'm pretty sure I read at least the first part of Spider-Man Noir. But after that, it kind of fell away. I don't know what was going on then that I wasn't getting my Spider-Man actions.
I read Luke Cage Noir and found it to be a perfectly serviceable retelling of Luke Cage 1 and 2 from 1972 and had a similar response to Spider-Man No IR. Plus, at that point in time, no IR meant that I was in trouble at my job, so I couldn't read anything with noir because it would be a no IR.
Yeah.
Long story. Don't ever work in a call center.
This is the cool thing. This story takes place in 1939, so essentially 6 years after the first appearance of Peter Parker as Spider-Man. He is still going around and basically he's defeated all the bad guys. He's defeated
the big man, the crime master, the goblin.
Yeah, he's defeated Goblin. He's defeated Al Capone. Prohibition has been pretty much wiped off. So there's very little crime for him to deal with. And then
is
Mysterio.
There still a place for a vigilante like the Spider-Man in today's modern America?
And again, this is what I like about pulp. They can make magic seem real. It's not cheesy magic like Mysterio of regular Marvel U, which is technology driven. And granted, this one's technology driven. But people know that Mysterio here is Mysterio in Marvel main continuity is special effects artist, right?
The original Mysterio is, yes. There's another Mysterio who I think has hell powers from selling his soul.
Okay. Well, this one comes off as, hey, I am a stage magician and I'm doing all this stuff. And he's concocted some scheme to try to get Spider-Man Noir's blood so that he, too, can become a Spider-Man.
Take over,
kill Wilson Fisk and become Kingpin of New York City.
I will say one thing about Mysterio Noir.
Yes.
He'd be much more impressive if the artist of this book could actually draw a slouch hat.
Yeah.
But the basic premise seems to be strong. And actually, putting Mysterio in that vaudeville context really makes Mysterio kind of refreshed a little bit for me.
That's what I liked about it. He felt very real for that time period.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of the shtick that they were going for when they created Mysterio in like 60, I'm going to say 62, whatever it was, because he was meant to be a throwback to the old school stage magicians. So having him here doing his shtick at a point where it's actually contemporary is interesting. Now, throughout this whole issue, as Mysterio moves and as the Spider-Man tries to figure out what's going on, he has this premonition, his sixth sense, which is not a spider sense. It's a sixth sense in 1933, and it's also a fortress of spider-tude. His sixth sense is going off, and something he thinks is wrong, and he figures it's related to Mysterio's antics when Mysterio tries to lead him away and steal his blood.
Well, and he does it by kidnapping Felicia Hardy and threatening to kill her on stage in front of people if Spider-Man doesn't show up. Of course, Peter Parker does show up and he gets captured, has some of his blood drawn away. He's able to defeat Mysterio. But, and this is where things get really weird, this steampunk guy with a flaming trident. No, not a trident. Because it doesn't have three tips.
Right. It's a fork.
But yeah. This giant flaming fork and a Sergeant Pepper uniform.
Flaming fork.
And the Sergeant Pepper uniform shows up and wants to kill Spider-Man Noir. But before he can, look, it's the return of a Spider-Man that we know or that is familiar.
The Superior Spider-Man.
So what is going on here, Matthew?
Well, as you'll recall, the Superior Spider-Man was Dr. Octopus, Otto Octavius, in the body of Peter Parker. That's the whole shtick. At one point during his series, around issue 28, 9, something like that, before he, erased his brain and brought Peter Parker back to save the world, he went on a little jaunt through time with the help of Spider-Man 2099's brother, Gabriel. So Superior Spider-Man spent some time in the future world of 2099.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be a time-locked or time-lost 2099 version of the Superior Spider-Man. Because as you'll actually note, Superior Spider-Man has kicked off again.
Mm-hmm.
32 has come out, and I want to say 33 and 34 have come out of Superior Spider-Man, featuring what's actually happening. Somewhere along the line, Otto was in the future, discovered a terrible plot against Spider-Men, and has now decided that he has to gather all the Spider-Mens in the entire universes. That sentence really just makes me tired. But he's gathering alternative versions of Spider-Man and bringing them together in order to confront something that no one else has. And
yeah, this character, I'm guessing the character's name is Karn, right? And he's the guy that's wanting to kill everybody throughout all space and time and dimension.
Right. This issue actually ends with one cameo that I am happy about. Spider Monkey.
Oh, yeah.
From the Marvel Ape series, as well as Spider-Man's daughter from Old Man Logan, and a couple of Spider-Men that I don't recognize right off the top of my head.
Well, and maybe that's we haven't seen all the Spider-Men from all the universes, right? I mean, next week we get to see Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman.
Right. I think everyone we have seen to date is a Spider-Man that we have previously interacted with.
Ah, okay.
Because I know Marvel Ape Spidey, Spider-Monkey had a thing, Spider-Man No IR had a thing, the Spider-Girl from the future had a thing. There's a Spider-Man there with four arms and a Spider-Man who looks kind of armored, who may actually be... No, he's not that guy. I was thinking he was the Scarlet Spider, but that's not his armor, so I don't know.
Yeah, apparently we're going to see a whole bunch of them as the series kicks off. And though the Spider-Man number 32, Superior Spider-Man number 32 is the prologue, this is where the story officially kicks off in Edge of Spider-Verse.
Edge of Spider-Verse, which was my favorite soap opera growing up. Edge.
What'd you think of this story? Did you like it? I liked it a lot.
I thought it was okay. I think the biggest problem that I had with it was I didn't care for the art.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with the art. But there's also something really cool in the art, too, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the art. And I felt like this is almost a whole issue giving me a new adventure of Spider-Man Noir. And then at the end, we get the little Philip and it's like, oh, my gosh, look, it's the Superior Spider-Man. Having no particular emotional connection to Spider-Man Noir, this isn't something that immediately hits me. And, you know, as much as I like a noir take on superheroes, it's always nice to get a little bit of that retro build.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a little too on the nose for me because the way this is played, Spider-Man is basically just Spider-Man.
Right.
This isn't really a pulp story. This is just...
It is to an extent because it's got the tropes of a pulp story where you have somebody with power trying to wrest power through some mysterious force, in this case, saying that the blood sacrifice has to be made to the spider god. And if Spider-Man doesn't show up, he's going to kill. It is very melodramatic, like you would find in a pulp story. So it's got that vibe to it. But you're right. It is very much a Spider-Man story.
Yeah, and it kind of feels where there may like be some points where a hat.
Yeah, they almost try a little bit too hard to put everything in, and but at the same time, I for whatever reason I dug this story. Now I will agree with you on the art.
Yeah,
the art was not great.
It feels kind of a Jay Lee influence with that really slick, almost oily kind of look to everything.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where Superior Spider-Man teleports in, he is at a really weird angle.
Yeah.
So you can't really tell who he is. And he makes a remark. The only reason I know it's the Superior Spider-Man is because of the little thing that he has on his wrist, which, you know, we've seen before from Superior Spider-Man. But for a moment when he popped in, I had no idea who this was. That could have been any of the guys wearing a red. Could have been Ben Reilly for all I know.
Yeah.
And throughout the issue, you know, there are problems with a story where you'll see a sequence of people in the crowd who are responding to Mysterio's show, and they all look like mutated, lumpy things.
Yeah, I didn't care for the art in this. The artist is Richard Eisenhoff, and the writers on this story, David Hein and Fabrice Sapolsky. The one cool thing that I did like in the art is this weird fade that happens at the bottom of every panel where it suddenly becomes lighter, almost like you're looking at an old shiny comic that has aged yeah, has been in the sun and aged. And I kind of like that because that kind of enhanced this pulp feel. But you're right. This does feel very much like a Jay Lee and the stuff that he was doing on Stephen King's The Tower. The Dark Tower. It also at times feels very much, and now that we're talking about it, it feels very much at times like house art for Dynamite Entertainment Comics.
Yeah.
And it gets muddy, and it gets muddy in their shadows.
It gets muddy. The coloring is kind of off. And I think that what they've done here is they have given us a really nice representative adventure of Spider-Man noir. But I think they've done it at the expense of things that might make Spider-Man noir stick out as a Spider-Man in an army of Spider-Men. This is a pretty good issue. It gives you what you need. It tells you about Mary Jane. It tells you about Aunt May. Whatever is wrong with her face, it doesn't really explain, but you can kind of, you know, figure that out.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you come in already digging Spider-Man noir, this is a good issue for you.
Right.
And if you're heavily invested in the world of Spider-Man right now, I think this is a good issue for you. Just picking it up off the stands and trying to use this as your entry point Spider-Verse, it's less successful as a first issue.
No. It's definitely not that. And really what they're doing with this Edge of Spider-Verse stuff is that they're going to focus on one of the spider people from one of the multiverses. So every issue is going to be somebody different. Like I said, we're going to see Gwen Stacy, Spider-Woman. And then in the Superior Spider-Man arc or the, Spider-Verse storyline proper, that's where everything will play out. Okay. So, you know, I think if you are a Spider-Man noir fan, and it's been several years since they've had that. I mean, we've seen Spider-Man noir show up in cartoons. We've seen him show up in video games. And if you've been wanting some more of it, just like a lot of people want their Spider-Man 2099, here's your chance to get it in this book. I enjoyed the tale. I thought it was pulpy. I thought it played up on something like we would see in a pulp novel. Didn't care for the art. If I were going to give this a star rating, I would probably give it 3 stars out of 5. This is one that I don't. Here's the problem. I don't think that these Edge of Spider-Verse issues are going to be exactly relevant to the main story, except if you're wanting to know who these characters are in depth and what their role is and capabilities and powers are in the main storyline.
Which is great if you're intending to buy the main storyline. I think that is that may be the difference between our appreciation in that I'm not reading Spider-Man regularly right now, so I don't necessarily have the grounding in caring necessarily. And while I understand what they're doing, this is positioned as a big number one issue.
Yeah.
And having it continue from a different book as a big number one issue kind of chaps me a little bit in that, you know, a first issue needs to at least address the fact that there's a one on the cover. There needs to be something about it that, you know, even if it's something where, you know, had it been something where the first appearance was that Superior Spider-Man and this was Superior Spider-Man 32.1.
Right.
I think it might be a little bit more palatable. But, you know, it's not that it's a bad issue. I just I didn't care for the art and I don't really care about the story. And part of that is me and part of that's the issue. So I would say, I'd say 2 slices of meatloaf easy. It's an average book.
Here's what's coming up in Edge of Spider-Verse. The checklist, Superior Spider-Man number 32 is already out. Edge of Spider-Verse number 1. Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. Superior Spider-Man 33. Edge of Spider-Verse 3. Edge of Spider-Verse 4. Amazing Spider-Man 7. Edge of Spider-Verse 5. Spider-Man 2099 number 5. And Amazing Spider-Man number 8. That's how everything will play out for this series. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 books in this big event.
Well, good luck figuring that one out.
You know, the thing is, when you got to the last page of this book, it just says to be continued. It didn't say come back next week and make sure you're reading Superior Spider-Man number 33 to find out what happens next. And you know what? I kind of miss editor boxes. I wish editor boxes would come back in comics.
You and me both, sister, because, I mean, seriously, why did I just call you sister? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I agree in that they are very important to understanding what's going on in the story. And even if that thing at the end, it said continued next week in, I don't know.
It doesn't. It just says to be continued.
Spider-Verse number 55.2. That's what I want. I want to know, where do I go next? And I think that, well, partially it's a question of, we will sell trades and it'll be order in trades. It will be an order in the trades. I am having trouble with my definite articles and many of my prepositions today due to my hiccups.
Oh, I thought maybe you're having a stroke or something.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Always the worst possible thing.
Well, but see, then when it turns out not to be a stroke, right, you're so relieved and happy to be alive, as opposed to, oh, it was just a hiccup.
I say to Stephen, Stephen, I got a headache. He's like, you're going to die.
No, I don't. I said, well, is it a brain tumor? Have you had this for very long?
Exactly. Have you had this for a while? I'm like, Stephen, I have a nosebleed. You're like, you're going to die. We're up in the mountains, 18,000 feet in the air. I said, Stephen, I can't breathe. He's like, you're going to die.
Yep.
Just not right, man.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There is Edge of Spider-Verse number one with Spider-Man Noir. Coming out next week from all your publishers, the 17th is next week.
In the world.
Well, not in the world, just in North America. Dark Horse Comics has Billy the Kid's Old Timey Oddities Omnibus Trade Paperback. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 7. What else do they have? Eye of Newt, number 4. Rodrigo reviewed that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. You can go over there and check that out. And Witchfinder Mysteries of Unland, number 4.
Witchfinder? I hardly know her.
DC Comics has Batman and Robin. Oh, all the Futures In stuff. Right. Did you read any of the Futures In stuff today that came out? I haven't read Batgirl yet.
Futures In Batgirl, I actually read and will be reviewing for the site.
Okay, Birds of Prey, Aquaman. Who else is coming out? Nightwing this week. Nightwing. There's like 5 or 6 of them that come out this week.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the deal is.
Next week, it's Batman and Rob. These are all the Futures In books from DC Comics next week. Batman and Robin, Batman and Batman Superman, Batman Futures End, Batwoman. Let's see. There's still Forever Evil going on. Oh, that's a trade paperback. Uh-huh. Green Lantern, New Guardians, Justice League. Let's see. New 52. Let's see, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Supergirl, Superman, Wonder Woman, Teen Titans, Trinity of Sin, Pandora, and Wonder Woman are all Futures Ends number ones next week.
Red-Legged Mallard and the Outlaws.
Do you think this is just a temporary thing and we're going to jump back, or is this a soft reboot and we're really going to be 5 years ahead and we're just going to pick up where we...
I can tell you that
they didn't play it up like this was a permanent change.
The Futures End weekly title that we're seeing.
Yeah, I haven't read any of those. My goal is to read all of those by next week.
Almost can't be the future of the DC universe.
Why not?
Well, because they've killed Green Arrow and they've done things that aren't going to work. Now, do I think that we might not save the 5 years universe into something different and jump forward? Yeah. But I think that when it comes to these kind of status quo changing events, you kind of have to have that alternate reality reset button for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come into a world where everything is terribly changed by a war and everybody's freaky and everything you know is wrong and all your favorite characters are acting weird. You can't do all of that. You have, like they did with Flashpoint. We had those several issues of Flashpoint. Here's the alternate reality, and here's all these weird takes and this crazy, wacky stuff. And then we came back from Flashpoint, and we reset the universe to a much more familiar take.
Right.
I think that's what will happen. I think we'll get this, oh, no, bad universe 5 years from now. And then all of a sudden, when we do, we'll jump forward, and we'll have a DC universe that's been around for 10 years. And they'll be able to do that thing that they love to do so very, very, very much, which is, oh, no, everything you know is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the only trick in Dan DiDio's bag of tricks. I'm just saying it's his boxing glove arrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's his spinning around the tornado in a counterclockwise fashion. It's his squashing the coal into a diamond kind of thing.
Mm.
It's his standing douchely and then disappearing into the night as soon as Jim Gordon talks to you. Is
you
douchely
done?
A word?
You done?
I don't know.
Next week, speaking of time traveling craziness, We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time, number 4, and X-Files season 10, number 16.
Nice.
Interesting, on this date in history, X-Files premiered with their first episode.
Da, 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 boogly, boogly.
The truth is out there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And Image Comics may just be bringing it to you next week with Deadly Class, number 7.
Oh.
Great Pacific, number 17. Oddly Normal, number 1. Let's see. One Hit and Wonder, number 4. Red City, number 4. Shudder, number 6. Trees, number 5. Wicked and Divine, number 4. Marvel Comics has the all-new X-Factor. I don't think that's the new season on Fox. This is actually a comic book called the all-new X-Factor.
This is that X-Factor book with Gambit and Quicksilver and Polaris. And when I asked one of my coworkers, I'm like, is it a good book? He's like, it's better than a book starring Gambit, Quicksilver, and Polaris has a right to be.
Okay. Daredevil number 8 comes out next week. Dark Tower, Drawing of the Three Prisoner number 2. Deadpool Biannual number 1. It's a $4.99 book, so keep your eye out for that. Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. Elektra number 6. Hulk number 6. Hulk Annual number 1. Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man number 5. Submariner and the Original Human Torch trade paperback. That's a $40 book. Let's see. Wolverine and the X-Men number 9 and X-Men trade paperback Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix. It's where they go on crazy adventures going across the country.
Yeah, they
picking up hobos, solving mysteries. No.
What happens is they get into a van with a girl in an orange skirt and a hippie and his dog, see? And they drive across the country.
Fred is no Cyclops.
Well, Cyclops is no Fred.
And Phoenix is no Daphne.
Actually, Daphne is a Phoenix.
Let's see what else we got here. Archie Comics Digest number 254. Asterix Omnibus Softcover Volume 8. Bee and Puppy Cat number 2. That's a second printing for that one.
Puppy Cat.
Crossed Badlands number 61. They have that torture cover that they're always trying to push on you, Matthew.
Why do you do that to me?
DC Superheroes, My First Dictionary Hardcover.
Oh.
That sounds kind of cool.
A is for Abnegazer.
Well, probably Aquaman.
B is for Belgarian. Batman.
And if they did it right, they'd do Batgirl, but you know it's going to be Batman.
C is for Captain Marvel. D is for Blue Devil.
Let's see. D would probably be who?
I don't know. Dan DiDio. E is for Elongated
Man. Yep, Elongated Man. P, Plastic Man.
F is for Flash.
Yep.
G is for Green Arrow.
Yep. W for Wonder Woman.
H
Z for Zatanna.
Happy Hogan.
Hellraiser Bestiary number 22 comes out. Itty Bitty Bunnies. What is this? Itty Bitty Bunnies Rainbow Pixie Land Xmas number 1. Now,
let's review it.
I don't even know what that is, but it's got a mature rating tag on it.
Let's review it. Itty
Bitty Bunnies Rainbow Pixie Land Christmas number 1.
Who's that from?
I don't know. I'm going to jump over here to the old Comixology and find out, because
the title like that sold American. I want to read this book. Itty Bitty Bunnies Rainbow Pixie Land Christmas. Rainbow Pixie Land.
Oh, this looks like a crazy. Well, they have Itty Bitty Bunnies in Rainbow Pixie Candyland up on Comixology right now. 4-issue miniseries there. So this must be another one of the. The art is.
Is it adult?
No, but it's the kind of art that I really truly don't like.
Oh, good. Let's doubly.
I'm trying to think what it reminds me of. This.
I like.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Is it
that's
like
fine.
Manhua?
No, you can go check it out. I'm just going to tell you that I understand the art and I understand where it's coming from, but it tends to be gross for gross sake and silly for silly sake. So that this is a mature reader's book, but this is something my kid would like just from the art side. So.
Well, and you know, kids like that stuff.
Today, my youngest, who's 3, was flipping through something on his iPad. He goes, "Hey, look, Dad! It's those rabbits, like on my gun that I have." And I bought him a little rabbit's gun that makes all sorts of vile noises.
Pew pew, yeah.
So he loves that.
I always liked the Rabbids. We used to play Rabbids on the Nintendo.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that they were part of the video game series. I just saw the gun. I just saw the gun in Walmart one day, and I was like, oh, this is a noisemaker my youngest would like. And he did. And then we started looking it up, and there's a series of Rabbids cartoons that were made just within the last 2 years that both
of
the kids
love. I like the Rabbids because the Rabbids talk like me.
Yeah.
Because there's one where the game is you're a rabbit and you're trying to be as bad as possible when the teacher's back is turned.
Mm-hmm.
But when the teacher turns around, you have to be a model student.
Right.
So as soon as the teacher's back is turned, you start mashing your buttons and the rabbits are like, mm-hmm. I love that. This is my people.
Shadow Midnight Over Moscow, number 4, comes out.
You said that was good, didn't you?
Not the Shadow Midnight Over Moscow, the Shadow... what's his name? Grendel was really good. Shadow Midnight Over Moscow is Howard Chaykin doing that. And it's really good. We had an article up on the site that people should go check out because I think it's Chaykin, at least the artist by. They did this great crossover where they featured like Doc Savage, Tarzan, the Shadow, and a couple of other characters that are all part of that Wold Newton fiction and featured them all in one panel. And so somebody wrote a really great article about it over at majorspoilers.com. You can go check that out. Sons of Anarchy just kicked off its final season. And you can read Sons of Anarchy number 13 next week from Boom Studios.
Sons of Anarchy.
And let's see what else. WWE Superstars ongoing number 8. Too bad we had to pick Itty Bitty Bunny's Rainbow Pixie Land Christmas. We could have done WWE Superstars ongoing number 8.
You're not going to talk me out of Itty Bitty Bunnies.
Well.
Not even for Ron Mysterio Jr.
Yeah. Speaking of Mysterio, go pick up that Spider-Man Noir.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anything else, Matthew?
Spider-Man. Spider's pretending to be a man.
I went ahead and, I don't know why I did this. Went ahead and got Diablo 3 on the Xbox One today.
Really? That makes 4.
Yes. Here's what I like about that game. Just playing it for like, probably I've played it for at most hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the elf needs food badly.
Right.
Remember that game?
Green Wizard is about to die.
Yeah. Remember the wizardry? What was that? Gauntlet. Gauntlet was the name of that game. That's exactly what this game feels like, except with a lot more save points and better graphics.
Valkyrie needs food.
I really want to get one of those gauntlet
consoles.
Our consoles, yeah.
Yeah, they're not too expensive.
No, they're like, and it's not even upkeep. I mean, you can find them on eBay for like $900 or less, $600 to $1,500, let's say. Problem is, it's all like the... Gauntlet 3. It's not like the original Gauntlet or Gauntlet 2. Those are the ones that are hard to find. But it's the ones that were basically like by the time Super NES came out. That's the kind of graphics that it has. The better graphics, not the cruddy 16-bit or 8-bit graphics that were in the original Gauntlet series.
8-bit Gauntlet.
Yeah, Gauntlet Dark Legacy. That's the one you're going to find all over the place on eBay. Yeah, 1985. I remember the arcade called every day. You know, every time we'd go up to Topeka to a White Lakes Mall, they had a video games arcade there. And we would go over and we would, it was like after cross country meets and whatnot, a bunch of us would just line up and get all four of us going and playing the warrior, the wizard, the Valkyrie, and the elf. And it was cool because it was a co-op arcade game. You know, most of the time it was Pac-Man by yourself, Donkey Kong by yourself. Here's one where you guys could team up together and go kick some ass. 1985.
Yeah, that's back in the day. Robotron 2084.
Spider-Man 2099 coming up in this Spider-Verse thing. And I think we better get out of there because we're reminiscing too much. And we can't have that on this show.
I'm really sad, though, too. Did you hear Jaws passed away?
Yeah, I saw that. Richard Kiel passed away at the age of 71. That was another story that that popped up. And there was one more that I wanted to. Yeah, Richard Kiel dies. Oh, 74. I'm sorry, not 71. And there was one more that I was going to mention. Oh, the Destiny video game. Speaking of video games.
Yes.
Destiny. I didn't get that one. Scott Johnson and Scott Kurtz were talking about it today, going back and forth. And it just Scott Kurtz complained it was too much like Halo, which it's the same company. But for some reason, between Diablo 3 and Destiny, Diablo 3 had my attention more, maybe because it's the fantasy. I'm not a big fan of first person shooters. And Diablo 3 is more of a third person point of view kind of thing, which can be troublesome at times, especially when you get into a corner that you can't see around.
Right.
But Destiny. Wow. $500 million in sales in launch week, during launch week. That is amazing.
That is. You know what's really amazing? One of the grandmas in the bunker turned around to me today and said, "Have you heard about this game, this Destiny?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yes, I have. How did you?"
Check this out. Destiny launched at over 11,000 midnight openings around the world in over 178 countries.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it is a huge deal. It is a big deal. And the other thing that's really weird about it, even though reporters and journalists and gamers were all sometimes given access to the betas, right, nobody has written an official review of this game yet.
Really?
I saw one on, was it Machinima? Or no, Nerdist, one of those two. They did one where they stayed up 5 or 6 hours last night playing it, and then they did a video this morning. And I'm going to bet by Friday we'll see all the main reviews for Destiny come out from all the big sites. But holy cow, Activision.
Playing it?
Yeah, everybody who hasn't done it. I mean, some people have put in like 40-plus hours into the beta. But, you know, the beta is not going to be the same as release, and they've added in additional features and those kinds of things. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to jump on Destiny. My son, we were watching the trailer the other day, and Mason looked at it and he goes, "Dad, that looks an awful lot like Titanfall," which I enjoy playing Titanfall. But when I look at it, it looks very much Halo to me.
Interesting.
Maybe some of our listeners will let us know.
I've heard a lot of people saying that it's reminiscent of Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
But again, having never played Titanfall, I couldn't say for sure. But I'm interested in maybe seeing Destiny, but I only have a PS3.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's only on the next-gen systems. And PC. If you have a high-end PC, it'll work on that, too.
I got a laptop that I picked up at Best Buy.
Probably not. Let me see what is it launched on? Xbox 3. No, it's available for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, 360, Xbox One, and yeah, there you go.
Nice. I may have to check
it out. So you can go check that out.
How much does it run?
I'm sure it's probably expensive.
Well, I only have $12 to my name. So you know.
I'm going to bet if it's as expensive as my Diablo one was today that you're going to be looking at $60.
Dude.
Buy now. Here's what the button says. Buy now. And I bet, listeners, if you want to go buy Destiny or Diablo 3, or you want to buy a next-gen system, go over to majorspoilers.com, click on that Amazon.com link, and then you can get Destiny in all of these different formats and have it delivered. Or, you know, I'm sure it's available for digital download. Yeah. Right now, but here's the, yes, it is $60. Wow, your Amazon Prime. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a big fan of Amazon Prime because I bought something that was really expensive the other day and got it for 50% off with my Prime membership. Destiny on the PlayStation 4 has a list price of $60, but with your Amazon Prime membership, you can get it for $59.96. A savings of 4 cents.
Wow. That's yada baba baba baba.
But we appreciate everybody who uses that Amazon link over at majorspoilers.com. All of that really helps. It comes a little bit, comes back our way, allows us to do shows like this. For those of you who are VIPs, thank you. Your contributions allow us to do shows like this and to get these comics for review and make sure if, man, server costs came in this week. Woo! That helps offset all of those costs, and we really appreciate it. You don't have to pay for a show like this. And I know some of you are saying, thank goodness.
You don't have to pay for
any of the shows in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network that we release in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed. All of those are free. But if you want some bonus stuff, whether that be a bonus tracks episode where we provide commentary to films, whether that be behind the scenes looks, whether that be a our monthly gold member chat.
Gold member.
Then you sign up to become a member, bronze, silver, or gold member, and you help us out even more and help us achieve other goals. In fact, Finally Friday, the show that's going on every Friday, 3:30 p.m. Central, is made possible because of our VIPs. They unlocked that goal, and now we're ready for our next goal of 1,500 members, and then we will be releasing Critical Hit a week early for our VIPs. A week early or a month early? I can't remember which one it is.
Was it a month early?
It was a month early. You will get four episodes when we unlock that right away, and then every week you will get a new episode, and you'll be a month ahead of all the other people who just have to listen on their basic podcast subscription. Members.majorspoilers.com. If you want to buy some merchandise, I know, plugging the heck out here at the end, but I tell you what, a lot of people complain, oh, Steven, all you do is hawk your other shows, hawk buying products, hawk doing all these things. Well, number one, we're hawking our other podcasts because we think you'll enjoy them. Number two, VIP members, Amazon.com, and all of our sponsors that we have make this possible. So we have to have advertising until we have enough people or enough VIPs to make this happen. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, if you want to buy some other merchandise, we have a store, majorspoilers.bigcartel.com, majorspoilers.bigcartel.com. You can get posters. You can get the Critical Hit sketchbook. You can get some flasks, get dice bags. We're going to have more merchandise coming soon. Get a link over there to our Slash Loot store for our t-shirts, a lot more. Thank you for your support.
Doodah, doodah.
Doodah, doodah, and thank you, everybody, and we will see you next week when we talk about itty-bitty, I don't know what it is.
Something, something. Candy
Christmas candy noted. Special.
Christmas trolls.
Excelsior!
Excedrin!
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.